this appreciation for this incredible gift that God has given us. You do more than talk about it. You actually begin to pray. And what is prayer? Prayer is, in its simplest form, talking to God. Amen? Without making it too complicated. You know, we like to make stuff complicated because if we make it complicated, it feels like, ooh, that's deep right there. It's deep, but I don't understand it and I ain't doing it. Let's keep it simple. Prayer is talking to God. More appropriately, prayer is communication with God. Because prayer is actually two-way conversation, two-way communication. It's not just you talking to God. But believe it or not, God has something that he wants to say to you. And many times that happens through prayer. In fact, in our time on Wednesday night, after we had concluded our time of praying, when folks had began to exhaust what God had placed on their hearts, we came to the place of where everybody had prayed. Amen? So then we settled in to an uncomfortable place because people don't like it when it's quiet and ain't nobody talking. So we settled into that place where there was no talking. And we were just sitting and waiting and listening for what the Lord had to say. I know that makes people come. In fact, if I were to just have us sit right here for a few moments listening to God, we'd get antsy. Do something. We've got to be doing something, right? But we settled in because we wanted to hear if God had something he wanted to say to us together. We wanted to hear what he had to say. And lo and behold, God started dropping impressions upon people and giving them words. They didn't understand the fullness of what it meant. But it's like, don't be afraid that if God has impressed something upon your heart, share it with us. So the first word that came forth was shift. I say, I'm just sensing God talking about a shift. Okay. All right. Ain't nobody got to expound on it. We just receive it because we're still listening to God and waiting for God to speak. A little bit later, another impression came when somebody talked about press. Now I got shift, then I've got press. And all we're doing is waiting and listening to God because we believe that God wants to speak to us and grant us direction. But in order to receive it, we have to be still long enough to listen and to receive. All I'm saying is that there is two parts to prayer. One part is you speaking to God. The other part is you listening and receiving from God. Because prayer is a gift that God has given to us, his children, to strengthen us, to encourage us, and to communicate his plan to us so that we can walk according to the steps that he has ordained for our lives. If you want God's best for you, one of the things that you are going to have to do is pray. That's one of the things you're going to have to do is pray and talk to God. Here's why. Because I said to you, prayer in its simplest form is communicating with God. Prayer is also acting like you believe in the presence, the provision, and the power of God. Amen? It's talking and communicating, but it's acting like you believe in the presence, provision, and power of God. And if you believe in that, then you're going to have to enter into conversation and dialogue with God. Not only is prayer acting like you believe in the presence, provision, and power of God, prayer is also acknowledging the sovereignty of God and recognizing that I am not the master of my fate and I am not the captain of my soul. Amen. Oh, those things sound so cute. You guys have heard that poem by William Ernest Henley about Invictus. You heard it, right? Let me read it to you. I'm going to read it to you. It says, out of the night that covers me, black as the pit from pole to pole, I thank whatever gods may be for my unconquerable soul. That sounds good to somebody. But what do you mean, whatever gods may be? I know. See, prayer is I acknowledge the true and living God. I don't say whatever gods may be, and I don't talk about what they give me. I talk about what he gives me. Amen. Oh, that may sound cute, but it ain't right. He goes on to say, in the fell clutch of circumstance, I have not rinsed nor cried aloud. Under the bludgeonings of chance, my head is bloody but unbowed. Oh, it sounds good. He's strong. He's getting beat down. But while he's getting beat down by the pressures of life, he's refusing to bow his head. I'm bloody, but I'm not bound. You're not going to overcome me. Okay. You strong. All right. He says, beyond this place of wrath and tears looms but the horror of the shade. And yet the menace of the years finds and shall find me unafraid. It matters not how straight the gate, how charged with punishments the scroll. Here's that line. I am the master of my fate, the captain of my soul. Prayer acknowledges that you are not the master of your fate. You are not the captain of your soul. But it is God who has ordered the steps of your life. It is God who has numbered your days. It is God who keeps you when the enemy presses in upon you. It is God when injustice finds its way at your door. It is God when every enemy that is pressing up against you and you have no way out, you learn that it is God, not me, who controls my destiny. And prayer is that place of where when all of that stuff is coming my way, I learn to hide behind God and I learn to call on God and I learn to cry out to God and I refuse to be stubborn talking about I'm strong. I am woman, hear me roar. Nonsense. Prayer says no. I acknowledge that I am a weak and fallible broken vessel outside of the power of God in my life. And when I learn how to put my hope, my trust, and my confidence in him, because I am weak, God then makes me strong. I learn that when the enemy is pressing in upon me, that if God had not been on my side, I would have been lost. Prayer acknowledges that I cannot do this in my own strength nor in my own power, but I need God. If you and I are going to experience God's best and God's presence in our lives, we've got to learn how to pray, because prayer it expresses a dependence on God and not on self. Amen. Come on now. Y'all say amen if I'm telling the truth. Well, I'm telling the truth anyway. Amen. Listen, I want to read this psalm to you because it speaks to that truth. And then I want to take you through a few steps around again what prayer is. And you can turn there. Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verses beginning with verse 145. Psalm 119 beginning with verse 145. As you know, Psalm 119 is the longest psalm or chapter in the Bible. Psalm 119 has 176 verses. That's a lot of verses. It's divided into 22 sections with 8 verses in each section. Those sections are divided according to the Hebrew alphabet. So it's an acrostic based upon that. But it's really talking about through all of Psalm 119, it's talking about the Word of God, the power of the Word of God, and what happens when a person puts their hope and their trust in His Word and in Him. In this particular section that I'm bringing to your attention, beginning at verse 145, it is actually a prayer that is coming from the psalmist. As he is writing, you see him stop like with sudden, and he's ready to pray because of what appears to be the things that are coming up on his life. Look at verse 145 and let's follow along with what he says. He says, I call with all my heart. See, that's prayer. I call with all my heart. Answer me, O Lord. So he said, I'm calling out. Answer me, O Lord. And then he says, and I will obey your decrees. Note what the psalmist is saying. I'm calling out to you. I'm expecting an answer. And when you give me the answer, I'm going to do what you tell me to do. Verse 146 says, I call out to you. Save me. And I will keep your statutes. I love this because the psalmist is saying, I'm in trouble, but if you save me, I'm going to follow you. These words are not there, but it's like he said, I'm going to follow you for the rest of my life. I'm going to follow you like I owe you my life. I'm going to follow you like I can't ever pay you back. I'm going to follow you like I'm in debt. And I'm trying to do what you want me to do because of your deliverance for me. He says, save me and I will keep your statutes. Then look at verses 147 and 148 because they show us the depth of the psalmist's cry. He says, I rise before dawn and cry for help. And I have put my hope in your word. My eyes stay open through the watches of the night. This brother staying up all night long. He says, that I may meditate on your promises. I hope you caught that. He's staying up all night long, but he ain't worrying. He's meditating on the promises of God. And if you're going to stay up all night, that's what you need to be doing. Don't stay up worrying. Stay up meditating on the promises of God. He says, hear my voice in accordance with your love. Preserve my life, O Lord, according to your laws. So God, don't hear my voice according to my righteousness. Don't hear my voice according to how well I'm able to articulate my request, but hear my voice according to your love. God has demonstrated how much he has loved you. He has loved you with an everlasting love, the kind of love that caused him to send his one and only son from heaven to come and to endure the scorn of earth that he might save you. That's a measure of God's love. So he's saying, hear me according to your love. Preserve my life, O Lord, according to your laws. And those who devise wicked schemes are near, they close by, but they are far from your law. Yet, God, you are near and all your commands are true. Then verse 152 says, long ago, I learned from your statutes that you established them to last forever. So here's the truth God's word is eternal. He has set it up such that if you will put your hope in his word, you will never, ever be ashamed, and you don't have to worry about his word getting old, stale, or outdated. For God says that he watches over his word to perform it. His promises are trustworthy, and you can stand on them. And when you and I begin to enter into the practice of prayer, when we move from talking about praying to actually praying, what we're doing is demonstrating that, God, we believe that your word is true. God, we need your word to be active in our lives. God, we are going to act like you are who you said you are. And in the midst of all of this, God, we believe that you will do what you said you're going to do. And therefore, we're going to call upon you, not just sometime, but all the time. Amen. That's where you and I want to get to. We want to get to the place where we're not a people that talk about praying. We are people that pray. Folks are sharing with you problems in their lives. Don't trust your wisdom. Let's talk to the Father about it. Amen? And so much so, don't be ashamed to pray. Don't be talking about, I'll pray for you when I get home. No, no, no. Bold enough and say, let's pray. If they serious about wanting help, they gonna let you pray. Amen. If they're not willing to let you pray right there, can I just tell you, don't waste your time praying when you get home. Amen. No, I'm being serious, y'all. See, in order for a person to receive from God, they have to be willing to accept what God has to offer. If you embarrassed, if you too embarrassed for me to pray for you right here in the middle of the grocery store, what makes you think God gonna come find you? You embarrassed? You don't want to be associated with him, but you want his blessing? That's crazy, isn't it? Say amen. Say, yeah, that's crazy, Pastor. Come on, help me out. Say, that's crazy. That's, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. But no, be bold enough and have enough trust and confidence that when you call to God, he hears you and he answers you. And because you don't just talk about praying, you pray. You seize that moment and you pray. And can I tell you that it don't have to be a long prayer? I don't want you to go from Genesis to Revelation. Amen. In the beginning, God, you keep working. I'll be like, I'm good. I'm good. But no, we pray and we ask for God to move. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 33. Jeremiah chapter 33, verses 2-3, having in principle that I also want you to pick up. In Jeremiah 33, verses 2-3, God is speaking to Jeremiah. When you look at verse 1, you discover that Jeremiah is still, he's right now in some confinement. They have arrested Jeremiah. He is confined in the courtyard. But can I just tell you, it doesn't matter where you are, because God can find you and still talk to you. Amen. So Jeremiah is in the courtyard and the Lord begins to speak to Jeremiah. And this is the truth that God conveys to Jeremiah. He says, this is what the Lord says. He who made the earth, the Lord who formed it and established it. The Lord is his name. He says, call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. What God is saying to Jeremiah is that I am the Alpha and the Omega. He is saying to Jeremiah that I am the all-knowing God. There is no detail that exists that I do not know about. And he's saying to Jeremiah, I am extending an invitation to you to call to me, and I will tell you things that you don't know, and I will show you things that you have not yet seen, because it is my prerogative, God says, to reveal to you whatever it is that I choose to reveal to you at my timing. And what God wants you and me to know is that we can call to him. And God, even though we don't know the answers, God has the answer. And what prayer is when you begin to act like and believe that God has the answer. That when you don't know what to do, you act like God does. So if God knows what to do, let me start to pray. Let me start to ask him, God, show me what to do. And then be willing to wait for God to show you what to do. Amen? So he's telling Jeremiah, call to me and I will answer you. So then out of this, we see that God invites his children to call on him in prayer. Amen? It's God's invitation. He invites us to call on him in prayer. So don't reject God's invitation. Accept it. Call on him and pray. Amen. Another truth. Can you go ahead and go to that next slide for me? Another truth says, and this talks about Jesus, and I'm just going to give you just a couple of illustrations, if you don't mind. But this is a picture of Jesus, who was the model for all of mankind. Jesus was the one who was perfect in all of his ways and practices. And if you're going to emulate, model anyone, it should be Jesus. That's the one that you can go to and trust that what you see him doing is reliable and there is no error in it. Jesus was the perfect Lamb of God, spotless, without sin. And what he did was came to not only save mankind, but also to show us how to live this life in this place until our time has expired. And one thing that Jesus did while he was on earth was he prayed. In Mark 1:35, it says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, went off to a solitary place, and he prayed, or where he prayed. What you don't see is prior to this, Jesus had had a really, really busy day of ministry because he was healing the sick, casting out devils. He was doing all kinds. And it says that they were bringing these people to the house where Jesus was staying. And this was going on all night long. So Jesus, a busy day, tired. But yet, it says early in the morning, the next day, after he had got a little shut eye, the next day he got up and went off to a solitary place to pray. The question that you should be asking yourself, Jesus, who is the Son of God, Jesus is fully God, fully man. He came from heaven, was wrapped in human flesh, but yet he remains God. If this Jesus who is fully God needs to pray or chooses to pray, how much more should I, a fallen individual, accept God's invitation to pray? If it was necessary for Jesus to pray, I assure you, it's necessary for you and me to pray. If Jesus found benefit in praying and talking to God, I assure you that you and I will find benefit in praying and talking to God. But now, in order for you to experience that benefit or to know it, again, you can't talk about it. You've got to do it. You have to actually enter into prayer. So then, here's the truth that I want you to plug in and keep plugged into your life. Time in prayer with God must become a priority. Amen? Okay, each one of us are given what, 24 hours in a day? Isn't that right? Amen? Everybody is given the same amount of time. Any one of us, any extra time, right? He didn't say, I like you so much, I'm going to give you 25 hours. Are you so, you got so much to do, I'm going to give you 26 hours. No, each one of us have 24 hours in that day. But he has also given us the ability to choose how we're going to spend that 24 hours. Amen? Some of us like to spend at least 10 of it sleeping. Some of us. We don't always get it, but we would like to. Amen? That's the desire, but it doesn't happen that way. Some of us then have to spend another good portion of that day in our places of work, employment, or our businesses. Amen? They don't have you working 24 hours. At least they shouldn't. I know sometimes you have emergencies, but they shouldn't. But in the midst of that time that you have been given, what I'm trying to encourage you to do is to carve out time so that you are able to isolate yourself and spend time talking to God in prayer. Time where you take your best friend and tell your best friend to be quiet for a little while. Or leave your best friend in the desk, on the drawer, or whatever you need to do so that you can have uninterrupted time talking to God. Why? Because you believe. Remember, prayer is acting like you believe that God has the answers that you need, acting like you believe that God is present and there with you, acting like you believe that God has the provisions that you need, acting like you believe that God has the power to address whatever situation is going on in your life. That's what prayer is acting like. And so you want to set aside some time to talk to the one that can show you the way and do something with your situation. So I'm encouraging you. Some people do it early in the morning. Some people take a midday break. Some people do it in the evening. But you decide, make a choice to make time in prayer a priority. Make it a priority. Where you choose to say that I will not allow anything or anyone to interrupt or stop my time with him. Sometimes it may vary in your day depending what's going on, but what you have decided is that I'm going to reserve time to spend time with prayer in God. It's going to be a priority for me. Amen? I can assure you it will make a difference because God is the answer. He has placed that in Jesus Christ. So then, you make time in prayer a priority, and then you discover some things about prayer that we've already talked about. First, we said that prayer is a conversation with God that is built on what relationship? Prayer is a conversation with God that is built on relationship. So, you remember that first point? God invites his children to come to him in prayer. The relationship with God is established through Jesus Christ. For the only way that you really become a child of God is by accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The way you become a child of God is by acknowledging that Jesus died for your sins and that God raised him again from the dead. And so I'm acknowledging that, yes, I am a sinner in need of a Savior, and the only one who could adequately fulfill that bill was the person of Jesus Christ. When I acknowledge that, when I confess it with my mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, the Bible declares that I am then saved, but even more so, I am now a child of God. And as a child of God, I now have the kind of relationship with God so that I can go and knock on his door and come in. You know how it is when mom or daddy is in the bedroom sleeping and the door is closed because you're trying to get some quiet time or some private time. Well, the babies don't care. When they live in your house, the babies don't care. They will come, and if the door ain't locked, they will open it up because they don't care. Why? Because they are your children and they know that they have unlimited access to you. And if they come and try and twist the knob and discover that the door is locked, they still don't care. They start to knock on the door. I know you in there because the door is locked. They knocking because they say, I am your child and I need you. And here's the great news. When you and I accept Jesus Christ, we become children of the living God. And that means that we can enter into his presence without restriction. We can enter into his presence without fear, and we can come. And if we think the door is locked, because he never locks the door, all you got to do is knock. In Jesus' name, let me in. Let me in. I need to see you. Let me in. So he says that we can come to him based upon that relationship and ask of him what we need. Amen. So we have this conversation with God. Here are some of the things that happen in the process of that conversation. Prayer keeps me in tune and in step with God, and it prevents me from running in front of or behind him. So when I'm talking to God, God is helping me to understand the steps that he has ordered for this day. And so as I'm in my conversation with God, I might be telling God what I want, but because I'm listening conversation, God is also telling me what he wants. And here's the deal. When you and I begin to pray and trust God, what we start to say, oh God, what you want trumps what I want. So I'm going to lay my stuff aside and embrace what you want, because I know that if I do what you want me to do, if I chase after you, you're going to take care of what my needs is. You remember what the scripture says in Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. You remember what it says in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And then he says, all these other things will be added unto you. And so God, if I make you the priority, I know that you're going to take care of everything else that I need. So I know what I was asking for, but if you want me to do something a little bit different, God, you win. I'll do it your way. Amen. So I get instructions from God. The other thing that happens is prayer is one of the ways we connect to the heart of God. So when you and I pray, we get a chance to connect to God's heart and to know his will and his desire. And this is the opportunity. Prayer is the opportunity whereby we voluntarily expose our hearts before the Holy Spirit. So when I come praying to God, I am voluntarily saying, you are free to examine me and search me, but most importantly, write your instructions upon my heart. And so here's what it looks like. Prayer is me opening the shutter of my life to God so that he can imprint his character upon me. I'm opening up the shutter of my life to God so that he can imprint his character to me. That shutter language may be a little bit odd to you, because these days, the only cameras most people use are their cell phone cameras. But when you start to think about a shutter in an old-fashioned camera, in order for that picture or that image to be taken, it had a shutter. That shutter would open up so that the image could be captured, and the shutter would have to be open long enough to actually capture the image and then stamp it on the film that is in the camera. And when you and I are in prayer before God, when we make time to spend time in prayer before God, and if we have opened up our hearts, our shutters are being opened so that God can then stamp his image upon us, and we can walk according to his will and according to his way. So that's what prayer does for you and me. It opens up the way. It opens up the door. And God is able to pour into us what we need. The prayer is believing in the presence and the power, provision of God. Prayer is where you and I choose not to trust in our own understanding, but instead to lean on God and what he chooses to reveal. Prayer is the realization that God is the one who has ordained, who has ordered the steps of my life, and then I'm seeking God for those instructions. It is maintaining regular contact with him, so that when I lose my way, or should I take a wrong turn, he can redirect me and navigate me along the right path. Prayer is when you and I allow God to modify the way we think by putting his thoughts upon our hearts and minds so that our lives are transformed. We really begin to act like his children. Prayer is the mechanism, the vehicle by which we receive the promise of Jesus Christ. Jesus said that I come that you might experience life, that you might have it more abundantly. Prayer is your ability to reach out to the one who created the heavens and the earth, and to have dialogue with him and also have him intervene in your situations and in your circumstances. Prayer is not complicated. Prayer is not sophisticated. Prayer is not religious. But prayer is about relationship. And what God expects from you is the same thing you expect from your children. You expect them to communicate with you at the level of their maturity. Amen? And so wherever you are in your relationship with God, God accepts your conversation with him. He does not judge your conversation by my conversation. He doesn't say to you, well, you didn't ask me like Richard would have asked me. That ain't how God operates. For he knows you. He knows your name. He knows his plans for your life, and he says that you are to come to him just as you are, without pretense. Don't come trying to pretend like you somebody else, using words that you don't even know the meaning of, to ask him for a simple thing that he wants to give you. He says, come like you are at your level of maturity, and he will meet you right where you are and then help you along the way. So he says, come to him, and then I employ only this thing, that when you come to him, you come in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. There is no other way to God except through Jesus. John 14:6 says that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. The only way you can actually get to God is through Jesus. And so then when you begin to talk to God, you've got to do it in the name and authority of Jesus. He is the pass key that gets you in. Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, according to my will, then it shall be done for you. So you're asking in the name of Jesus to the God who has the power to deliver, whose provisions are not short. And when you ask in faith and confidence, when you talk to the one who wants to give it to you in the name of the one who sent you, you're going to get an answer. You're going to get a blessing. So you start to make prayer a priority in your life. You start to make prayer a passion in your life, and you move from just talking about it to actually doing it. So I no longer talk about prayer. Now I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. I got this song that's going to play that's going to help you understand everything that I just said about praying in the name of Jesus, because this song is going to describe to you and to me all that is available to us, or much that is available to us, through the name of Jesus Christ. Because in God, we have everything that we need. Amen. We have a big, big God, the great I am, who says that you have no need that I cannot meet. This song, as you listen to it, will help describe all that I was trying to communicate about prayer. Will you play that?
I'll give you when the storm is raging, and I'll be your light when the road ahead seems dim. Oh, I have the power. Just put your trust.
Just ask in my name. So there is power in the name of Jesus. Love, joy, peace, power, wonder-working power, miracle-working power. Just ask in his name. Put your trust in him. He says, I am the Father. I am able to do the impossible. All things are possible with me. Just cast your cares on me. Just ask. Amen. So in the midst of that setting, while you're sitting here for just a few more moments, if there is something that you need to ask for, will you go ahead and bow your head and just begin to say to him, to the one who is able, he says he has wonder-working power to meet you right where you are and take care of the issues that concerneth you. Will you be so bold enough to say to him, Daddy, here I am. And here's what I stand in the need of. Will you pray? Father, we thank you that you are able to hear each one of us as we lift up, God, our voices to you. And we're thankful, God, that there is no thing that is too hard for you. We declare that you are the Lord. You are able to do all things. We declare that you are sovereign and that, God, your arm rules for you. God, we declare that you have the power, God, to do immeasurably beyond anything that we could ask, think, or imagine. And so, God, we don't shrink back from bringing to you that situation that matter that may be too difficult for us. But we acknowledge, oh God, you are more than able. And so, Father, we pray right now that, God, as we cast, God, our cares before you, as we lay them down, that, God, you, God, will begin to work, Lord, on our behalf. Father God, we know that you are the healer. You are able to take, Lord, situations and conditions, God, that have existed in bodies for long, long times. God, you are able to turn them around because you are the healer. And so, God, we don't shrink back from asking you to touch, heal, and deliver. Father God, we know that you are the God who has more resources because you own the cattle on 1,000 hills. And Father, when it seems like, God, we don't have enough to make our ends meet, we know that you are the God who can stretch what we have when we take the little that we have and offer it up to you in thanksgiving. Father God, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ right now that, Lord, if there are financial challenges within, God, this body, that, Lord, you, by your provision, would meet those needs and demonstrate yourself strong and mighty, that you will show that you are a good, good father and that your love endures forever. God, I thank you in the name of Jesus Christ that, Lord, you have said that if we delight ourselves in you, that God, you would give us the desires of your heart. I thank you, oh God, that if we seek first your kingdom, that God, you will provide us with what we need to cover our bodies. You'll provide us with what we need, our shelter. God, you will provide us with what we need for food. God, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus Christ that based upon your promises that, God, we can rest, God, assured that, God, you, Lord, will meet every one of our needs according, God, to your promises in Christ Jesus. God, we thank you today that, Lord, you are restoring peace. God, we thank you today that, Lord, you are restoring joy. God, we thank you today, oh God, that you are cultivating love in the hearts of your people. God, we thank you today that, God, you are mending broken relationships. God, we thank you today, oh God, that every day with you becomes sweeter and sweeter. God, we thank you today, oh God, that, Lord, you are healing our bodies and that, God, you are making us whole and you are making us strong because we are in Christ and Christ is in us. We thank you today, God, that you are the great God of all the earth. And we celebrate you in Jesus' name. And the people of God said, amen. Man, amen. Oh, you guys want to do communion? Amen. Amen. We can. We can. We can. We can. If you would like to share in communion with us, just raise your hand so that they can serve you.